Can remain seated for just a little bit. I'm going to read the book of James chapter number 3 and quite a few scriptures, and then we'll have you stand for the text and we'll pray. But I don't want you to be standing for the whole time, so you can remain seated for just this period of time. Verse 1 says, the book of James chapter 3 and verse 1, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of bird and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." Hallelujah. The tongue is a dangerous thing amongst the body of Christ. Let's read again, if you would stand tonight. We'll begin reading in verse 4. "Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell." Amen. I'd like to just preach tonight on our words. Our words. You know, it is an amazing thing here. This can sound like a very bleak set of scriptures. You know, we're able to tame every beast of the world, and yet we can't tame the smallest of members in our own body, it seems like. It's an illustration that there are things that no matter how long we've been alive, no matter how long we've been serving the Lord, God's not through working in us. And so I'd like to just preach tonight on our words. Amen. Why don't we just pray and ask the Lord to help us tonight, speak to our hearts from His Word. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful tonight that You are the true and living God. You are the Word made flesh that dwells among us. And so tonight, we look to You as our example. God, we will not look at our own lives and try to better ourselves, but God, we fall upon the altar tonight and we acknowledge how much we need You, how much we desire that You would work in our lives, that You would allow us to be patterned and molded after Your image, that we would reflect You in everything that we say and everything that we do. God, we give You the praise for what You're about to do in this service, Lord, for the remaining of this service. God, we thank You. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Oh, to tame the tongue. It's amazing to me how that old saying goes, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." I was taught that as a child, and it's a lie. And every one of us have probably said it at some point in our lives, and every one of us have not believed what we just said. Words are a very powerful thing. With the right set of words, a general can motivate an army to march into battle. With the right set of words, a politician can convince a nation to put him in the highest office possible. With the right set of words, a gentleman can sweep a lady off of her feet and become a beautiful bride. With the right set of words, amen, you can do a lot of powerful and amazing things. You can motivate folks to give. You can motivate folks to do things. With the right set of words, an individual can make a powerful impact on his surroundings. But with the wrong set of words, you can crush. You can destroy. You can hurt. You can make things scarred in the heart of an individual that will last for years. There have been parents that did not know that the words that they were saying were literally injuring their children for years and putting a scar in their minds. There have been some folks, even in the church, that have said things on a bad day, not even meaning it, but it got out there, and not even knowing the destruction and damage and hardships that came about because of those words. Words are a very powerful instrument that God has given us. To be able to communicate is a wonderful thing. Have you ever thought about that? What it would be like to not be able to express yourself? There was a study done, or a young lady, I should say, and there was an interview, and this young lady had a debilitating handicap. She was violent in her trying to express herself. In fact, folks thought that she was mentally retarded, and for years these parents were encouraged by other folks to institutionalize her. She doesn't understand anything. She doesn't know anything. It came about one day, though, through a worker, a physical therapist or a speech therapist, one of the two, was typing on a computer, and this young lady happened to hit one of the keys and saw that this computer had the ability to speak back, you know, in that robotic computer voice. And so, for some reason, this young lady who was violent, who would break things, who would try to grab hair, who would do all of these things, all of a sudden got thrilled and showed excitement on her face, and it was just overjoyed that this thing did something. And so for months, even going on years, this physical therapist began to work with this young lady on the computer. It turned out that this young lady was completely sound in her mind. And for years, she was a teenager at this point, for years she had heard everything that every family member had said, every comment that every guest in that home had said, every discouraging remark, every possible attack through words this young lady had heard. But because of the handicap in her body, she was not able to express what was going on in her mind. In fact, it became an amazing thing. This young lady literally began to be able to type, and she wrote a book. She was able to have dates with her father where they would sit down at a computer and have conversation. This was a life-changing discovery. But imagine your world if you were not able to communicate. Imagine if you were not able to tell someone how you were feeling, the pain you were experiencing, how you don't like this certain type of ice cream, how you aren't in the mood to go to this place or that place. And yet this young lady was trapped in a world without words. But the day that that gate opened and she was able to communicate, they found that there was life there. They found that there was a young lady ready to explode with a desire to speak. And words are a powerful thing. It's an amazing thing that God has given us to be able to share and express with one another who we are and how we're feeling. But that expression can come with a price. You see, in the process of our daily lives, every one of us have a struggle amongst us that we daily fight, and that is, how do we use the gift of words and communication and language that God has given us? I would be a fool to stand before you tonight and act as if I have never said something that was hurtful, harmful, mean-spirited. It is amazing to me that how such a little member of our body is able to bring about so much destruction and pain. But that's what James is telling us. That even a great ship is able to be turned by the smallest of helm. that we have a horse that is so powerful, a beast that is able to be ridden, able to be used, able to be made under control, and yet we have to put a bit in its mouth to turn it. This great and powerful thing is able to be turned and controlled and harnessed by just its mouth. As believers, we are always desirous of reflecting Christ. That ought to be our goal in everything that we say, everything that we do, where we go. It ought to be a desire to reflect Christ. We preached not too long ago about the fruit of the Spirit and how that it is necessary for the world to see the fruit of the Spirit evident in the life of the believer. It is essential for you and I to be fruit bearers. It is significant that we are connected to Him. The Bible says that He is the vine and we are the branches. And as a part of the body of Christ, He is the head of the body. You and I are the extension of Christ. And yet James said that it is a small member that defiles the body. There have been times folks have come in and maybe they didn't know that they were under a burden. But Brother Cruz, we might have said something. And it just is the last thing, the last straw, and it hurts and it breaks. It's a very sensitive thing, these words that we have. I want to ask us a question tonight. Does the fountain of your life produce sweet water, water that satisfies, water that nourishes your brothers and sisters, the world around you? Does the fountain of your life produce that, or does it produce salty, bitter, unsustaining water? You see, when we are striving to be like Christ, it is very easy for us to get off the track of sanctification. It's very easy for us to not crucify every member of our flesh, because I know better than most, my flesh rises up very strong every day. And where I may feel like I've got one area conquered, if I am not conscious of the fact that my words must also reflect Christ, I can look great on the outside, and yet my words can do more damage than what anything that I would wear would do. Do you understand what I'm saying? We must be conscious of the fact that our words are powerful things that God has given us. Are you blessing or are you cursing? Are you blessing or are you cursing? Words can be used as a weapon. They can be used to wound people. The psalmist said in Psalm 55:21, the words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords like a poison. Does that sound like a man or a woman of God? No. Who's that sound like? Sounds like the enemy. Isn't it amazing how that when we are not reflective of Christ, we can almost be guaranteed to be reflective of the enemy's mindset? Wasn't it the enemy that came to where Eve was and began to beguile her with words of flattery, and yet all the while it was poison? Isn't it amazing how that our words can be used as weapons to wound one another? The Bible said in verse 8 of James 3, the tongue can no man tame, it is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. This sounds so bleak tonight, Brother Brian. If no one can tame it, if it is unruly, how are we to get beyond the things that would hurt one another? We fall upon the altar. We once again take upon ourselves the nature of Christ, asking Him to produce in us what we can never produce on our own. To produce in us the Spirit of God that our flesh is always striving against and is always in contention with. You see, you and I was walking the halls of school today, and it dawned on me all over again. I will never conquer my flesh, for it is a part of me. It would be as if I was instilling a knife into my heart so that I would live. It will never work. You and I as believers will never be able to crucify our flesh upon our own cross. But when we as believers fall upon the cross of Christ, lay down our lives again at Calvary, all at once the Spirit of God begins to be the nature that is reflective of our lives. And we begin to lift up and exalt Christ through our actions, through our words, through the ways that we can never do on our own. He becomes evident. That is the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. It is the reflection of Christ in us. Jesus said, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Ye are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Yet my words will be the quickest way for my light to be darkened." Are you reflecting Christ with your words? Are we as a church reflecting Christ with our speech, with our worship? Are we reflecting Christ with the way that we talk? You know, I was reading in a commentary today, and it said something powerful. And I'm going to paraphrase it because I didn't copy it down. But the writer said, it is second nature to expect a believer to speak as a believer of Christ. It is offensive to a fellow believer when the words that are produced by a man or woman do not indicate or reflect what has been said as an outside lifestyle. It is am I the only one that feels that jagged feeling in the heart of a man when you see and hear someone who claims what you claim, and yet the words that are coming out of their mouth do not reflect the God that we serve? Isn't it amazing how quickly a testimony can be destroyed by one simple action of anger or one simple action of a loose tongue? God has called us to be separate. God has called us to build up one another, not tear down. In a youth group, it is amazing to me how quickly the world's motives and mindsets can become evident through our tongues. The Bible said that the things that proceed out of the mouth have first begun in the heart. Amen. God would love to change our hearts so that He may also change our tongues. Amen. That what comes out may reflect a love of God that only He can produce. Amen. Wounds that can only be healed by the Spirit of God. But I'm thankful tonight that the words that can be used for wounds can also be a God that changes us. Amen. I'm so glad. I'm going to be saved. It'll be 15 years this June. And about this time, I talk about it a lot because it's so crazy for me to think that I've been serving God now for more time in my life than when I wasn't. And God has produced and brought about a change in me. When I'm not living for God, when I wasn't living for God, my mouth was horrible. And the way that I thought was so contrary to the Word of God. And I know I'm not where God would have me to be in the end. But I'm so thankful, church, that we serve a God that can change us. A God that can take us a day at a time. And where yesterday, before I got saved, I may have lost my temper, now I serve a God that is able to instill me with the fruit of the Spirit, instill us, amen, with the attitudes of the gospel. Amen. We serve a God that's able to change our words that would wound into words that are made for worship. Amen. We serve a God that is able to give us a new song, the psalmist said. Amen. When He pulled us up out of that horrible pit, and when He set our feet upon the rock and established our goings, when we serve Him, all of a sudden there is a worship that rises up that is a clear indicator that we serve a God that has changed us. Hallelujah. You know, Sister Victoria is right. We do live in a dirty world. Amen. We do live in a world that is so crass. It's so vulgar. It is so despicable in its mindset and the way it communicates. And yet God wants to clearly reflect Himself through us. One of the quickest ways will be the way that we talk. How we communicate. You know, there have been a lot of times I've agreed with somebody in the words they were saying. But how they said it made me not want to agree with them. God wants to use our words for worship, for building up one another. He said here in James, "Therewith bless we God, even the Father." That's a good thing. God created us to worship. God created us with the ability. You know, this morning, it was about 6:05, 6:10, and I woke up and had the windows open, and the birds were already singing. The sun hadn't come out yet, but the birds were already doing what God had designed them to do. And I just stopped for a little bit. You've got to be able to take that in once in a while. Church, if it's been a little while since you've heard and just stopped and listened to the birds singing, I want to encourage you to do that in the morning. All right? It'll do you some good. They're doing what God created them to do. You know, they're doing what their instincts tell them is right. They have a God and a Creator, and He gave them a song. Now, you and I have been created with the ability to worship. Tonight, I have the ability to speak, to express myself. God, who has done amazing and marvelous things, He deserves to be worshipped. I'm going to hurry. Amen. We were made to worship. When we magnify Christ with our words, we edify and we build up Christ. We edify one another. That is why it is amazing to me when we come to the house of God and all of a sudden somebody can have a word fitly spoken, like apples of gold and pictures of silver, and all of a sudden you are lifted up and Christ is exalted and you feel that edifying, your words can build up one another. Young people, we've got to get out of the trap and mindset that it is funny to beat down one another. That's the world's motive. That's the way the world operates. Amen. Sarcasm can become a habit to the point where we cut the legs out from under our own selves. It's a dangerous thing. But we can have words of worship. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What is your heart saying tonight? Is it a heart of worship? Amen. We talk about that all the time. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about Christ. You see, when our minds and our hearts are focused upon Jesus Christ, that is what will be produced through our mouths. When our hearts and our minds are focused on ourselves and the world, that is what will be produced. I had a young man tell me not too long back, he was raised in church and even claimed to be ministering in a certain area and said he was anointed. But I was talking to him because I knew what he was claiming. Yet online, he was using curse words and vulgarity. And, you know, it wasn't inappropriate for me to ask. It was someone that I'm close to and was able to talk with. And his words were, the Bible never says that we can't cuss. Where does the Bible say that we can't do that? I began to quote this, and he says, well, I just don't think it matters. It's just our words. You know, the Lord has called us to be a witness. Our words have been designed to be a witness. And that's the last thing I'd like to preach on tonight. You know, when we were in sin, we used our words to our advantage. And when we get saved, our words become words of worship. But after we get saved and when we leave this house, our words are to be used as words of witness. To testify the things that Christ has done in your heart. You know, when you get around somebody that doesn't know Christ, are you witnessing? You know, I'm not saying that you've got to run up to him and suppose Sister Cindy doesn't. Hey, I'm just going to, you know, get crazy. I'm talking about a witness. If my friend Cindy here, and Cindy, let me tell you what God did for me. And all of a sudden your words and your testimony brings glory to Christ, and He can use that. And plant that seed and begin to work in their life. Amen. Just smiling and saying good morning is almost a sign of Christianity. I mean, let me tell you, we live in a world that is desperate for the words of life. We live in a world that is desperate to know Christ, to know the witness of Christ. We live in a world that needs God. Amen. We also live in a world of warfare. Our witness can be a warfare against the enemy. Revelation 12:10 says, they overcame him. Who's the him? The enemy of our souls, the one that was cast down, the accuser of the brethren. Isn't it amazing how even in the title of Satan, he is the accuser of the brethren. His words are destructive. And yet, even in there, the Bible says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Amen. Your testimony is a witness tonight that God has done a miraculous work in your life. And in doing this work, we must share with others what Christ has done. Hallelujah. Amen. The world needs to hear it from your mouth, what Christ has done. I can't tell the world what God has done in so-and-so's life the best way, amen, as that person can tell. They know the change. I know what God did in me. I know when I was 12 years old how I was already messed up. I know that. But when God came into my life, He transformed me. Hallelujah. You've got the testimony. You've got the witness. If you've been healed, let's witness about it. Amen. If you've been delivered, let's witness about it. The world is desiring to know that God can do it in them too. And they'll never know unless we lift up our hearts with our mouths and tell them what God has done. Amen. We no longer become a fountain of salt and sweet. We become a fountain that produces what the Holy Spirit would produce. The Bible said that He would be a well of living water springing up. Amen. I want the fountain of my heart, amen, to spring up living water. Amen. Don't you? Church, let's stand tonight. If I could have the music come tonight. Hallelujah. A witness of God's working. I was thinking about Mark chapter 5 today and the Gadarenes, the demoniac from Gadarene. The Bible says that when they came out of the ship, that this man met him immediately, a man of the tombs, with an unclean spirit. He had his dwelling amongst the tombs. No man could bind him, no, not with chains. He was always crying night and day in the mountains, cutting himself with stones. And those spirits were literally tearing him apart from the inside. He was feared. He was rejected by his countrymen. But Jesus is not afraid to encounter those who are messed up by the enemy. Church, we cannot become fearful of engaging a world that is being destroyed by the enemy. This man, I don't know how he got there, but there he is. And he meets Christ and he gets delivered. Hallelujah. That ought to be enough for us to be excited tonight, but he wants to go with Jesus when Jesus is leaving. The disciples get in the boat and here this guy brings his luggage. Where are we going? I'm going with you guys. I'd want to go with the one that set me free too. I don't hold it against him. I mean, if he was the one that had been destroyed, if you were the one wrestling with those thousand voices at night, wouldn't you want to go with the one that drove him away too? He's not cutting himself anymore. The Bible said he was clothed and in his right mind. All he wants to do is get in the boat with Jesus. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not to go with them, but said unto him, go home to thy friends. How long had it been since he really had friends? How long had it been since he really had family? This guy was so destroyed by the enemy, nobody wanted to be around him. Go home and tell thy friends. Tell him how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed. He began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. Oh, this man had a testimony and a witness. And it changed his world. Your words can be used as wounded weapons that the enemy would love to use, or you can have words of worship and a witness about a God that can change their life, and all men will still marvel. They may not come how we'd like them to come. Oh, but your words can be the very instrument that God uses to plant the seed. Hallelujah. Are you glad tonight to serve the Word made flesh? Amen. Are you glad tonight to serve the true and living God? Amen. The God that is alive and well. And because we've been changed, can we not ask God, Lord, revive my witness. Revive the words in me that would give life to the world around me. Revive the words in me that would build up my brothers and sisters. Amen. Let me be a testimony of the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Church, let's come find a place to pray tonight. Let's gather around the altar and let's ask God to revive our words. Amen. Let's ask God to change our hearts. Hallelujah. Oh God, let my words be yea and amen. Oh, let it build up Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to Christ. Glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah, Jesus.
I need Thee. Bless me now, my Savior. I come to I need Thee, oh. bless me now, my Savior.